Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Krista from Murphy's. Welcome, Krista.
Thank you, Michael.
Good to have you on the air tonight.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. An honor.
Great. Krista, tell us about movement and awareness practice.
Well, I've been thinking about that since you all asked me to be a guest on the show. And I was at part of the New Year's retreat that we did at the Santa Sabina Retreat Center in San Rafael, California.
Yeah.
And we did, which was a large retreat for us. There were 60 people. And we did one movement session every day. And at the end of the retreat, of course, it was silent, so people didn't report a lot during the retreat. I talked to them, but they didn't talk a lot back. And at the end, people reported what a difference the movement made for them with their comfort in sitting as well as with their relationship with themselves while they were sitting. And and I think that, you know, we say in Zen, you know, body and mind are one. But there's so many ways to look at that and to approach that and to experience that. So I feel like what we practice in our practice is becoming aware of what the voices in our head are telling us so we can ascertain what's helpful and what's not, what's true and what's not, and begin to make choices. And in the process of that, we become free of the tyranny of those voices, I would say.
Yeah.
And what goes on physically with that is that, you know, we have a sensation in the body, and there's self-talk that goes with the sensation in the body. And we get used to a similar set of sensations that we basically live with, which make a familiar set. We get used to a familiar set of body sensations, which make a familiar set of mental thoughts that go with those sensations. And
yeah.
So when we change those physical sensations, it affects the thoughts that go through our head and what we're told about ourselves and our lives and the world and what's possible. The one way that I say that is that tension has its own self-talk.
Uh-huh.
And relaxation has its own self-talk. So in the same way that you can have a thought that goes through your mind and you can get stressed and you can feel that tension in your body, you can sometimes feel your body react, especially the muscles at the top of the shoulders, the upper trapezius muscle, we can often feel those literally tighten up with a certain thought or experience. With that one, because there is a nerve that goes from the brain through that muscle, so it does respond directly. But the whole body, of course, responds directly to our thoughts. And in the same way, we can affect the mind by creating relaxation in the body, in the muscle tissues, in the fluid. That affects our sense of ourself and our thoughts in our mind.
Yes, that's my experience, definitely. And it's interesting when you were talking about there's a set of self-talk that goes with the sensations.
Correct.
And it's like, for me, this is just me. This is the sensations that I have, and these are the stories that go with it.
Right.
And to mess with any of that seems like sometimes inspires conditioning to have a new round of self-talk to keep me out of the moment.
Right. Right. So what you're saying is when you do something that's going to affect the tension in your body, which creates a familiar set of self-talk, there's a lot of resistance to making those efforts to make those changes in your body. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
So there's
yep.
there's a certain familiarity or comfort in conditioned mind with me in my body as I am?
Correct.
And even though it may not be optimal or physically really helpful, conditioning has an investment in me staying in that way.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Conditioning has far more of a life in that, in you being in a familiar quantity of tension than in you experiencing freedom in your body. Conditioning yeah. has no interest in that. Where is its future in that? It's pretty minute.
Exactly.
Which leads to, you know, sort of that two things, which leads to the idea that, you know, when we feel resistance, that can mean you're going in the right direction. And to you know, people can set out a goal in the same way that we can set out a goal to meditate and then watch all the ways that we're kept from doing that. For years, I set out a goal to do my own yoga practice and then watched more days than not how I was kept from doing that.
Yes.
And so, but at the time, I don't know if I didn't have that idea of I'm setting out to do this so I can see how I'm kept from it, which would be far more beneficial than actually trying to get it done.
Yes.
So to include how we are with our body and how we approach caring for our body in the same way that we are with how we approach sitting and caring for our spiritual life. That we can apply the same practice of awareness and attention and seeing the process of how we're kept from caring for our physical body in the same way that we're kept, you know, from seeing when we're looking to see how we keep from caring for ourselves mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
Yes.
So that's one, the first part. And the second part is, you know, the Buddha had the three jewels of Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. And Sangha is the community of people that we practice with, which are so, you know, it's not an accident that it's one of the three main tenets of the tradition.
Yeah.
And we can do that for ourselves with physical things that support us in our practice, whether it's having a friend that we, you know, exercise with, or a friend that we go to yoga class with and then meditate with, or whatever. Whatever, it doesn't matter what the content is. It's that, you know, everyone has their different favorites, and it's that we move the energy in our body so it doesn't stay stuck with that same story that goes with that stuckness. And so we can set up support, Sangha, for ourselves. You know, we call Sangha really friends. You know, a friend that you commit to do something with, and in that commitment, you each will do more than you would do on your own because you have the other person there, and you're not going to let them down. You know, if it's only you, well, what do you count? You know, you can let you down. But, and so those are the two points that I think are helpful with that, to set up a Sangha support for ourselves and to remember that when we're having resistance, you're going in the right direction with these things.
Yes, that seems really helpful as a pointer. That when we see that resistance, that can be a cue for us that we are pushing up against conditioning, and that's the direction we want to be going in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, because if it were easy, you know, and felt right, like, you know, a lot of things feel right that don't really support me. You know, I mean, I don't have TV, but, like, I used to have TV. And I actually don't have TV because then I'll get caught up watching TV. And then, you know, that feels right to come home at the end of the day and watch TV. But then I don't like the way I feel the next day. And then, you know, the whole day goes on. And then, you know, what feels right is to watch TV at the end of the day. So, you know, I get it. That doesn't really work for me. So I just don't have TV, so I don't have to have that conversation with myself.
Yes.
But watching it can feel really right, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, and it's rare that making the kind of effort that really anyone listening to this show makes, because listening to this show is a kind of effort.
Yes.
It's rare that I think, I mean, for me anyway, I mean, maybe I'm really just divulging a lot about myself, but for me to make that kind of effort, it's rare that there's not at least some kind of slight barrier to face.
Yes. 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 And as you said so eloquently, how important it is to hold hands, do it together, as Sangha, find an exercise buddy, whatever it takes that's going to encourage us to find the willingness to do what we know is possible.
Yeah. And maybe, I mean, the exercise thing can be something as simple as, like, doing really gentle movement before you meditate, because that can make such a big difference for sitting. Not to do a plug on my products, but, like, I have a video or DVD called Yummy Yoga, which is really gentle movement. And, like, to do, it's divided into two 20-minute sections. So say you and your friend get together, and this would be great for you, Michael, actually. You could do, you know, you and somebody, you and Claire, whatever, could get together and, you know, do the one section of yummy yoga and then meditate for 20 minutes. And what a treat that would be for yourself, for the other person. What a gift.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, to really hold
hands.
Go ahead.
No, just to take yourself out of that normal process of functioning.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yeah, lots of possibility there.
Yeah.
Krista, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome, Michael. Thank you for having me. Good luck, everyone, with your body and mind.
Thank you, Krista.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good evening and welcome to Open Air. Tonight it's my privilege and pleasure to be joined by Dave, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great.
That's good. I really enjoyed that conversation you and Krista were just having.
Great. What were you saying about it?
Well, it's just fun to hear her talk about what she does in terms of our practice. I mean, part of what was going on for me as I was listening is just realizing how lucky we are to have someone with, you know, her skills and her knowledge and her talents who is so much a part of our practice and can, you know, assist us in that way. Because I think, you know, without, she brings an element to it, I think, that would be really, it would really be kind of a misfortune to not have. If we didn't have it, if that was the right number of negatives. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I think without that perspective, not necessarily Krista, but she represents that for us, we would tend to approach it in a much more, in the opposite direction, really. You know, we're looking at, thoughts and, sort of thought forms and patterns in the mind and stuff as a way to kind of, it's not really to affect our experience, but kind of to affect our experience, you know, basically to provide ourselves with happiness and joy and peace and all that we're looking for. And she approaches it from the exact opposite, in some ways you could say, exact opposite point of view, you know, starting with the body, which is really, really helpful, I think.
Yes, yes. So starting from the body rather than the way we kind of typically approach it, which is the mind and thought processes.
Yeah, well, normally, you know, there's that thing that Sherry talks about frequently, you know, movement. You've got movement, sensation, thought, emotional response, and then the conditioned behavior. You know,
yes.
That's kind of the progression that we go through from being here to being out there in conditioned mind. And usually, you know, what we wake up somewhere in, you know, the emotion or, you know, I mean, let's face it, often we wake up in the conditioned behavior. You know, we've just shouted at somebody or we've just eaten a bunch of cookies or, you know, whatever it might have been. And that's what causes us to, that kind of gets our attention. And then we sort of try to work our way back to the body.
Yes, yes.
But Krista adds this element of, well, you know, let's kind of start there in the body. Let's start with sensations.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take care of those things that are, you know, it's like they're lodged in the body. Let's take care of them there. As a way to, to kind of bring us here, rather than necessarily having to start way out there after the conditioned behavior.
Yes, yes, yes. As you were talking, I was seeing kind of a convergence of both, you might say, both approaches coming together to support us in being present.
Yeah, I think that's what was so fun about hearing you guys talk is because it is happening within a container of awareness and practice. You know, it's not, you know, I think a lot of what people do who, I don't really know this actually, but I suspect that a lot of people who teach yoga, you know, basically that it's not that orientation. The orientation is, you know, feeling good for a little while, which is a good thing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I heard you guys talking about was adding the ending suffering part to it.
Yes.
Which makes it turns it from something that is, you know, nice and enjoyable to something that's really profound and a big adventure. And I project that's what lights Krista up so much, is that, you know, it's a lifelong adventure in learning how to be here through this work that she does with the body. And I just think it's really a neat thing.
Yes. Yes.
As a matter of fact, she's got me. She lives nearby the monastery, and she works with us on occasion. And she's got me going home in the evening after I finish my day and doing some really gentle stretches for just a short amount of time, like 10, 15 minutes.
Yes.
And it makes such a difference. I was telling her the other day, actually, that it takes care of my emotional body, you might say.
Wow.
In a way that I really, really appreciate. You know, the stress leaves. I feel taken care of. I feel loved. You know, I feel all of those things, and it makes sense. You know, it's just an act of self-care that I do for myself. So there's the part of it where, you know, I'm stretching my body. I'm actually releasing those places inside where all of that conditioning is being held. And at the same time, just the fact of doing it is an expression of love for me. And all this
yes.
come together in a really nice way.
Yes. Yeah. That sounds really beautiful. Something for me to see in that as well, as usual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good. It's nice to have so many different ways to go about it. You know, so many different angles on practice and how we're put together and how to end suffering. It really makes it a rich practice, I think.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, rich beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking about the technology stuff that we've been doing, particularly with Practice Everywhere recently.
Uh-huh.
And it just feels like, you know, practice is reaching deeper and deeper into my life, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is what I really want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's reaching as deep as often during the day at this point, showing up on your cell phone, perhaps.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
and as
true.
I was just going to add, as some callers have noticed, they leave their cell phone on during the night and get those messages during the night as well.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's great.
Yep. 24-hour support at this point.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And like you said, I think what you're implying in that is really important, that really is what you want, I'm betting. And, it, you know, like you guys were talking about resistance, you know, maybe ego doesn't want that. You know, ego wants us to stay exactly where we are, but, boy, it's good for the heart. It's good to have as much of that kind of support as we can and as many angles on it, as many ways to work with it and look at it as we can come up with.
Yes, yes, indeed, definitely. Dave, we have many callers here, and I have a couple of announcements.
Okay, great.
So let me run through the announcements first.
Super.
Sign-ups are in process for the email class coming up in February, which is called A Bizarre Tapestry of Misinformation, the Movie. And
that's a good one. Yeah, and for folks who don't know, I think it's actually going to be kind of like a movie lines where you're going to be kind of writing the script of, you know, how conditioning does it to you and who's the director and stuff like that. It should be.
Yeah. Part of me says the world's most boring, most dramatic movie.
Yeah. We sit and watch it over and over and over again, though, don't
oh,
we?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And you can sign up for this by going to the Living Compassion website. The team has arrived in Africa. Jen and Melinda and Sherry's there, and there are several blog postings already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've actually been there for a number of days and have done all kinds of stuff, so well worth checking out.
Yes, yes, very exciting as usual. With, I know I've said this before, but I really get a feeling of being on the ground, going through the day, and learning all about what's going on.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? Those photos are terrific.
Yeah,
you know,
great.
It's fun to be able to follow along and... yeah, it really is. It's as close as you can get to being there without actually being there.
Yes. And I think one of the things I love about it is it really takes me out of that boring, dramatic movie of my life.
Mm-hmm. You know, that
and
was,
it's such an obviously good, helpful project.
You know, that's a really good point, Michael. It's funny. We were having a conversation recently about email. And, you know, we've been sending a lot of email out. And we're like, gosh, I wonder if we're overdoing it. And I think probably some people would say yes. But what we're looking at, and we're looking at what would be the best way to handle that and stuff. But what we're looking at is, you know, in a way, everything we send out, even if it's like an ad for a workshop that's coming up or something, it all potentially has that effect of what you just said. You know, here's basically just another reminder. You know, here's another thing that's that's bigger, more beautiful, more dynamic, more happy and peaceful than that movie that we can turn our attention to.
Yes.
But nothing like is as good for that as the blogs. It's true, because you know you've got a whole story you're following there that's transformative and inspiring and beautiful, and you get to know these people, these wonderful people in this other culture, and you know it's a good thing.
Yes, indeed. And the last announcement is that there's still room in the Best Year Yet workshop, which is on Saturday, January 30th in Palo Alto, and sign-up information on that is also on the web.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. If you're in the area and you can make it, I would highly recommend that. It's a lot of people will go, well, why, you know, what does goal setting and Zen have to do with each other? You know, those
yeah.
are opposite, but not this. It's a, it's a really great, in my experience, it's a great way to help direct the year to come in a way that most supports you, and that's what it's all about. So, yeah, a definite, definite win if you can make it.
Yes, yes. Great. And we have a lot of colors here.
Okay, let's get started.
Yay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carolyn in Boise.
Hey, Carolyn.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
You know, I'm okay. I've been pretty ragged.
Pretty ragged.
And I'm just wearing... Ragged, yeah. I'm really wearing myself out, and it's over the same issues over and over again. You think I'd eventually just give them up?
Yeah, well, it
hasn't happened
think that.
Yet.
Think that, wouldn't you? But
you'd
no,
be wrong, but you would think that.
That's not really how
yeah.
it works, is it?
Well, it hasn't been so far.
Mm-hmm. And you know, in a way, Carolyn, well, it's kind of a good thing. It's kind of a drag to be sort of strapped down to that seat in the movie theater that we were talking about just a minute ago, because that's kind of what you're describing, if I understand you. You know, the same movie's playing over and over and over again, and we can't really get out. But the good news in that is that that gives us a way to work with it. You know, imagine if the movie was changing on you all the time. Oh, my goodness. Now, that would be a tough puzzle to put together.
Yeah. You know, the content... It is changing, but I can sure see that it's really the same stuff, just in different settings over and over again.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great awareness to have, isn't it?
Well, I think it is. I hear you guys say that it is, but boy, I would sure like to move one step beyond that. This last week, the way it's been framed, the way I've been seeing it is, I guess the best word I have to come up with words is that power struggles, that I seem to engage myself in some level of power struggle somewhere almost all the time. And I don't think I have recognized before that might be what it is.
I imagine you're talking about a power struggle with outside people. Is that what you mean?
It is, although I think that it might be inside too. Right now it's what I'm looking at or what I'm seeing is, you know, how I do that with, yeah, outside people,
mm-hmm.
engaging in some kind of, you know, sometimes obvious fight. And sometimes what I've been seeing this last week is that it's just more, it's maybe even just a pushing, but it is some kind of, I don't know, kind of nose-to-nose thing going on to see if, I don't know, it just seems to be about who's, yeah, I guess I don't know how else to describe it other than a power struggle.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's kind of like there doesn't seem to be much given me, I guess, is what it feels like when it's, you know, that pushing. It's like, it's kind of like the, you know, the oak tree and the willow tree thing, and, you know, the willow being able to bend. I don't seem to have that bend, that
mm-hmm.
given me
mm-hmm.
very much.
Mm-hmm. So what you're talking about is conditioned behavior, right? Like we're talking, I don't know if you heard the good news or the good news part of the show and what came right after that. You know, we're talking about this progression, you know, movement, sensation. You've got, there's movement, something's going on. There's a sensation in the body. And then there's thought about that. There's an emotion that comes with a thought. And then there's a conditioned behavior that, that results from that. So you're talking about, you're on the conditioned behavior level of it. Yeah?
Yeah, and I have for a little while now, and in fact talked about it a little bit, been trying to watch the physical sensations and you know what the processes and thoughts and stories that are connected to them, and I think that's how I even caught that. Gosh, I'm doing this. There's this contest all the time.
Yeah, that's
and it starts with this feeling, you know, right here. That's
yeah, that's super. Well, that's practice. You know, that really is practice, what you're describing. You know, now, I'd like to suggest to you something to consider that, you know, it's actually not you. It's ego that says, I want to be past this.
That wants to be past it? I thought ego probably wanted to engage in it.
Well, it does. But one of the ways it will engage with it is it will say, you know, I want to be done with this.
Oh.
You see?
Huh.
The reason I say that is because there's like a, I can't think of the right way to say it, there's a double thing going on here. One thing that's going on is you're doing practice with this. You know, you're looking, like you said, you're looking for the physical sensations, which is, that is practice. I mean, that's the most basic practice. We realize there's something going on, we bring our attention back here, back to the moment, and the, you know, the body and physical sensations are in the moment, and that's why we bring our attention back to them. You know, we bring our attention back here, and from there, that movement pulls us out of the engagement with that conditioned behavior. It helps us to step out of it and to see what's really going on, and I think that's exactly what happened for you. So that's one thing that's going on. There's one thing is there's practice happening. At the same time, and so you're seeing this, you're taking it apart, you're moving through it in whatever way you need to move through it. At the same time, there is, I would suggest, and this is just for you to look at and see if this is the way you see it too, there's a voice, which is another part of that conditioned system that's saying, you know, I really want to be done with this.
I think that fits, actually. One of the content that came up last week, I really needed to make some decisions over it and how to react. And so what I tried to do was I tried to decipher whether leaving, you know, quitting this situation would be a conditioned response, or whether staying with it would be a conditioned response. And you know what I think is that they're actually both conditioned responses. It doesn't actually matter which I do. They're both coming from a place of conditioning. And
bingo. That is so it.
Yeah.
You might, another way.
And the thing that isn't conditioning is, you know, what I really don't know how to do, moving from a place of acceptance.
Exactly. Well, we might say, the way we might describe that is, you know, asking those kind of questions is a conditioned response. You know, is this conditioning or is this not conditioning? That's a conditioned question. Right?
There's very little that isn't.
Yeah. Well, that's how it appears, for sure, from within it. But I have a strong feeling that you're creeping up on something that is going to, that you'll find will be way, way, way bigger than that. You know, you mentioned that, you know, that word acceptance, which is, you know, that's one way of describing it. You know, without all of that conditioned negotiating and maneuvering and manipulating and stuff that happens in there, what's left is something really big. And it's, you know, and I bet you've had this experience too. There's things like clarity in it. You know, there's like, oh, okay, well, I know what I'll do. I'm just, because it's the right thing to do, or the, you know, any of that. It's just, it's obvious. I'm just, here is what's in front of me to do. You know, there's a whole other place to approach life from than that in the head conditioned thinking about things that you're describing. I think you're creeping up on it. You know, that's why I was so excited when you were talking about, you know, going to those sensations in the middle of that power struggle thing you were talking about, because that's practice. That's what will get us where we want to go, you know. We don't have to even have to understand it. We don't have to know where we're going. We don't have to know what we're going for. If we just do the practice, then gradually that much bigger, freer, happier place will reveal itself to us just because we're practicing, and that's what practice results in.
Well, I guess that's encouraging. It, you know, the way it seems to me is, I'm trying, and I'm feeling, but I'm still responding in the same old ways, and it's still hard, and it still hurts, and I still get really angry, and I still get disappointed that I'm angry, and I still do all the same old things.
Yeah, and you will for a really long time, maybe forever.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing to consider is, there's a, what if none of that is you? If that's the illusion, nothing that you're describing is actually suffering. All that list of things you just talked about, you know, being angry, being disappointed that you're angry, all those kind of things. None of that is actually suffering. All that is just the experience of being human.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Suffering, this just consider, you know, suffering comes from a belief that that is me.
Yeah, no, I believe that. Yeah.
See what I mean?
There's definitely an element of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that has kind of appeared to me is that some of this battling, so that was the battling that's going on with other people. The battling that's going on inside me is, you know, this battle to be what I guess is my belief of what a good person is,
yeah,
or how a good person would act in there, and that's what really beats me up.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's a great example of it. That really is suffering. So what if that's not you? What if that's just the karma that's in you attempting to do what it does? What if who you are is simply the awareness and the awareness of it, and probably as you continue, you'll find the compassion that can hold that experience as it happens?
That what if, I guess that would be great if I could get to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what I think you will, you know, as you practice. Because one of the things I love about this the most is that truly we don't have to understand any of this. You know, we don't have to know where we're going. We just have to do the practice. You know, Sherry will often say things like, you know, just show up and the miracle will happen. And what I enjoy about that is it's like a process of discovery. It's like going on an adventure. And you don't know what's going to be around the next corner, it's big, you know, and it's exciting if we let it be.
I have, you know, occasionally glimpsed that sense of adventure, I don't feel worn down when it feels like an adventure, and I guess
right.
It doesn't feel like one. Right.
Yeah. Well, of course, and that's part of the practice too. I mean, that's part of the deal. You know, when we're in it, it's not a happy thing. It feels really hard. It feels awful. You know, that's when we're suffering. But then gradually, and I think this is happening, you know, gradually as we practice, we get glimpses of this other possibility. We start to see stuff like you were describing earlier, which is really fun. And gradually we get glimpses of that other possibility, and then it leads us to it. And that's really fun. Mm-hmm.
So just keep sitting and looking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep doing the practice.
Yeah. So I guess one other thing to toss out before I go is there's also a piece of, you know, not only you know, do I cause myself to suffer, but I'm kind of spreading it around. I mean, it certainly opens the opportunity for other people to suffer too.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't worry about that too much at this point. You know, really.
Well, good.
Yeah, we all, I mean, in the sense that, you know, the same thing takes care of everything, you know, as you, your practice for you will take care of everyone else involved also. You know, there's a danger that focus on other people will take us away from ourselves, and that's not what we really want. You know, to love this being, that love will go, you know, towards whoever else is involved in your life. But probably it makes it a lot simpler just to focus on this person and just do the best we can.
Okay. Well, I think there's some encouragement, some reassurance in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Take care.
Yeah. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kellen. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we have the privilege of being joined by Dave, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Dave, we're going to have a sponsor break here, and then we will be right back.
Okay, great.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Porch Dog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Dave, we have many more callers here.
Okay, great.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Next caller, are you there? Okay, let's move on to the next one, Dave.
Okay.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sridevi from San Francisco.
Hey, Sridevi, how are you?
Hey, Dave, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
It's great to hear your voice. It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, likewise. It's a pleasure.
I'm calling, actually, you know, no big surprise, very similarly to the previous caller in terms of themes.
Okay.
Where I have a lot of conditioning that comes up around relationships with men. And so recently in entering into a new relationship with somebody, actually, I had this really wonderful moment where I saw a process very clearly that happens consistently in my relationships with men.
Ah, cool.
So, yeah, it was really great. I actually like sat down and drew it out. It was very similar to something we had gone over at the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. So I just saw it so immediately, and I went, oh, my gosh, I know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
And it was a really wonderful moment.
That's great. Yeah, isn't that fun? It's fun to see stuff.
Oh, my gosh. It was so great. I have to tell you, it was so great. And so I see that process very clearly, and I'm able to now identify it when it comes up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, two things are happening. One thing that happens in the process is there's something that happens in a way that I'm being, and conditioning comes in and it has a value judgment and says, oh, God, here you go. You're being this way, and immediately I see how that happens in the process. So there's almost a fear now, almost whenever I do anything, to be like, uh-oh, is this going to get me back into that process with conditioning? And then
so
I kind of just breathe and – oh, sorry,
sense,
go ahead.
Andy. So there's a fear, basically, you're going to get a beating.
Yes, there's a fear of a beating, and a fear that actually prevents me from just kind of being myself. I see that, like, uh-oh, like, if you do this, you might get beat up by conditioning. So, and it, of course, then what happens is I enter into a conversation with conditioning of whether or not I should do it,
uh-huh.
You know. And I'm able to take a step back and go, you know what, no matter what I do, it's going to beat me up, you know. I know it is, but there's a fear that definitely happens there.
Mm-hmm. So you might as
and
well
then,
be yourself, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So then I go, okay, and I take the step back. I take a couple of deep breaths, and then I kind of go, and I go, okay, I'm just going to be myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it, and then I see what happens, and I'm kind of a little bit prepared because I know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it come up, and I see it happening, and I think the struggle is I know it and I see it, but I don't want it to happen because it's hard. It feels so hard and so challenging, and kind of just feel all of the emotions that come up, the feeling and the sensations in the body. And I guess, I suppose a little bit naively, I thought, oh, I see the process. Great. It'll all be okay now. And I go, no. I still go through it. And now I have an awareness of it, which
mm-hmm.
I think changes a lot of things for me. But it's still, I still feel it's hard, and I'm struggling with that. And I guess I'm probably looking for a little bit of encouragement about what to do as I see that process continue.
Mm-hmm. It really does go back to what we just talked about, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we might tell me if this describe it. So there's a we might say a karma that you have, you know, a preconditioned program that operates through
mm-hmm.
you that you've become really really aware of,
mm-hmm.
and your thought was, if you became aware of it, then it would kind of go away, it sounds like.
Yes.
But what's actually happening, it sounds like, is you're becoming really aware of the consequences of that thing acting out inside of you. Like
mm-hmm.
the pain, you know, the
yeah.
You know, how difficult it is when that goes on.
Yeah, and what's actually interesting that's happened and just in saying this out loud, maybe this is an interesting connection, is since I've identified that process, I've actually seen my body responding more physically. Like I have a lot of nausea when the process happens, and I'm like, wow, that never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'm just more in tune with my body, but that's been an interesting development as well.
Yeah, it's hard to know with those kind of things, isn't it? That always fascinates
yeah.
me. Has this been going on all the time and I just didn't notice it? Or is it because I'm paying a lot of attention to it and the intensity of it is increasing?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm curious about is, so you're aware of this thing that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe how you have changed in relationship to it as you've become aware of it?
I don't think I'm as willing to receive the beatings anymore.
There you go.
And I think... Yeah, I mean, it's there, but I think I know the possibility. I see it so clearly, and I go, wait, this will end. This will cycle through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as the nausea feels like it's never going to end, as much as it feels so terrible and I feel like this emotion is never going to go away, I know it does. I know
uh-huh.
that I'll just breathe and I'll go through my day and it goes away, you know,
yeah.
and I'll be back here again, but I know it'll go away again.
Yeah, and my experience with it, I don't know if this is yours, is that the more times you go through it, the less believable it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know that one, but you know, you go through it, you go through it, you go through it, and it's like that movie that Michael was talking about. You know, how many times do you have to see the movie before you know how it's going to end? You know,
what you're supposed to do is
abandon ourselves in the middle of it. You know, this is too much. I can't stand this, and then go into some kind of conditioned behavior to survive it.
Yeah.
But all that does is that blocks out our awareness of it and just enables it to keep on going. What I hear you doing is something really different. You know it's going to end. And so you found the willingness to just go through it, to really be in the experience of it. Not as the victim of it, but as the awareness of it as it's happening.
Yeah. And maybe that's what it is, what's going on, is that I don't think I've ever been willing to go there. So I would cope in different behaviors and whatever it was, whether it was eating or drinking, anything. And now actually what's happening is I see it and I'm just trying to sit through that and I'm trying to just breathe through it. And so maybe that is where that nausea and that physical sensation, and that's what's feeling harder, is I'm actually sitting through it and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this feels hard. And I'm trying really hard to just not cope in my traditional conditioned ways, but the hardness comes from just sitting still and just continuing to breathe. Or I try to go through disidentification exercises when the beating starts and writing down what the voices are saying, and or going on a walk or something like that. That's a healthy kind of more present type of activity for myself. But I think that's what's happening as I notice this happening more and more, that the way that I'm in tune with what's going on makes it feel harder. So there's a part of me that goes, oh gosh, I don't want to do this. It's too hard.
Yeah, and you know, most people believe that voice. You know, very few people actually want to end suffering, and it's because of exactly what you're saying, that we have to go through this. I mean, it's just the way that it's set up. We have to be willing to experience what's here, which is exactly what you're talking about, and almost nobody's willing to do that. Partly because, you know, it is hard. I mean, this stuff, it's hard. There's no doubt about it. It's painful. You know, there's no way, as far as I can tell, and I might not really know, but as far as I can tell, there's no way to end suffering without a lot of pain involved. But what a lot of people don't get that you get is that if you'll stick with it, it will end. And that it'll come back, but then you'll stick with it again and it'll end, and gradually you'll wear it out.
Yeah.
I mean, the karma will never go away. I mean, that's kind of what I was trying to say a minute ago to Carolyn, you know. It may be there, the karma will probably be there the rest of your life, because that's what karma is and what karma does. But in my experience, it's like when we start off, it's all around us. We're inside it. As we look and go through and, you know, be there in it, looking at it, as you're talking about, it's more like it starts to go off to the side somewhere, and then it goes further off to the side, and then it goes way off into the distance. And then we're not even really aware that it's there, just because it's not really getting any of our energy.
Mm-hmm.
If we become unconscious, or maybe there's some big thing triggers it, it'll come right back. You know, it's always kind of waiting in the wings. But, you know, we do wear it out. We wear out its ability to draw us into it, I guess you might say. The more that we kind of go through and really experience what's actually there, as opposed to the story about what's there that's designed to cause us to suffer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I've seen the ability for me to go, nope, I'm not willing to take the beating. I mean, for years I was willing, and now I'm not. I'm just not. But I do see now that I'm not willing, it's coming on stronger, you know, and I can see that. And I remember Sherry saying something about this, or at the There Is Nothing Wrong With Your Cheat, or one of the monks saying, like, now that you have these tools, be careful. Conditioning knows, and it's going to come on really strong. And I can see that the more I feel like, the more I see, the stronger conditioning becomes. But then at the same time, I think the stronger I feel in being able to deal with it.
Absolutely. Yep, that's the critical point. And, you know, People believe the voice. You know, people don't want to go up against it. Again, that's why people quit. You know, we see it all the time. You know, somebody will get involved with practice, and it'll really be working, and things will be moving around inside, and this transformation starts to happen, and then they run up in one of these big places, and conditioning suddenly pulls out the big guns, hits them with, you know, the self-hate that's kind of been waiting around back there, and then they say, oh, this is too much. I don't want to do this, and then, you know, just turn away. Just try to turn back to the life that was there before. But to know that, I mean, that last thing you said is the crucial thing, that this system, this conditioned system with a self-hatred in it, will cause you to be as big as you can possibly be.
Yeah.
You know, it won't stop until you master it. And you know, that's a beautiful thing for someone who's willing for it.
Yeah. Well, I know you have a lot of callers, but thank you so much, Dave. This is extremely helpful to just even talk that out loud, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, too. Thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us tonight. You're listening to Open Air. Dave, we're going to stop, drop, and breathe, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated. Purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Dave, we have some more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now on the line, and please introduce yourself.
Hello, this is Becca from Baltimore.
Hey, Becca.
Hi. Wow, I'm so excited. It's my birthday, so.
No kidding.
I'm really glad that I. Huh?
That's great. Happy birthday.
Thank you. This is my birthday present to myself.
Wow, and you made it on. Isn't that great?
Yeah, I'm really excited. And the call that came before me was really important call because it really has a lot to do with what I'm going to talk about.
Okay, good.
And I'm really grateful for that. So, anyway, I talked to Sherry a while ago, and I was talking to her about migraines because I get migraine headaches, and She gave me the encouragement that I was abandoning myself during my migraines and not to bail out, not to have any standards, and to take really, really good care of the person who has the headache and stay with her as long as you can and then do whatever I need to do to survive it. So I took that to heart.
Yeah, it seems like good advice, huh?
Oh, it was. It was a wonderful experience. And I found one of my sub-personalities there. I found the person who was having a migraine. And it was a really beautiful experience. Migraine is an altered state, basically. And when I was in that sort of space, I was listening to her and I was holding her close and I could feel her in my arms. And then when I came out of the migraine, I had my arms curled around myself and I was holding myself in the most loving way. So,
oh, wow. That is so
really
neat. That is
really, really pretty.
Huh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it, to be able to do that in the middle of a really painful experience.
Yes.
It's a great metaphor.
And to feel her there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just felt her there. Like, she was really there. Like, I was really there with her, and it was really a strong experience. But, yeah.
Well, what occurred to me is, you know, it's just such a great metaphor for life and for what's possible for us in life. Right along with what we've been talking about tonight, you know, that life is really painful. You know, in your case, you've got a physical pain that you're dealing with. You probably have other kinds of pain, too, but, you know, with those migraines. And to find out that in the middle of that, you can absolutely take care of yourself. That is such a valuable piece of information and one that you can, you know, you can apply to any situation in your life, anything that is painful. You know, you can, there's that same opportunity in it.
Mm-hmm. It's like the eye in the middle of the hurricane is available to you at any time if you're willing to turn to that place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. That's my experience, too. In some ways, you might even say it's easier then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
In a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I often wonder. I mean,
well, people,
it's one of these questions that you can't really answer. You know, nobody really knows the answer, but, you know, it sometimes it can't help wondering, you know, why is it set up this way? You know, why does life have to be so painful? Because it is awfully painful and difficult, at least in my experience. And I don't think there actually is an answer to that question, but if there were, I think it would be something like what you're talking about. You know, because that is what we need. That will help us to learn, you know, that compassionate care that we all can provide and help us to see that we are that which can provide that for ourselves, very much like you're describing.
Mm-hmm. And I have certainly come to a place where I am grateful for them. And that was an amazing shift when I was able to say, I am grateful that this experience is happening to me. Mm-hmm. The problem is I can't say that when it's happening. I can say it when it's over.
Uh-huh.
I can say it in general. I can say, even though it's affected my life for the last 10 years, that I'm grateful for it. But when it's happening, I can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that if I could, you know, that would be an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but I can
like
honestly say that
direction.
I hope so. I can honestly say that I've gotten somewhere. I feel like I'm moving, and it's really amazing. It's still so intense of an experience, and I stay with it longer and longer. And I always get to this point where the whole thing is just, it's too big for me. It's like a tidal wave. It's like an avalanche, and I'm drowning.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that I usually start drowning when I believe the one who says that she's afraid.
Ah.
And I ask her, because the thought personality that I met in that beautiful experience wasn't afraid. She just doesn't want to be left alone. She wants somebody to be there with her. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't want to feel lonely. But she's not afraid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always ask this person, you know, right before it seems like I lose control, and I can't get an answer as to what she's afraid of. So I'm suspecting her. I'm suspecting her, and I'm wondering if she's conditioning.
I think that's a really good place to look. I really do. Yeah, and just from what, I mean, who knows? I mean, you'll have to find that out for yourself because it could go either way. But what you're describing is, I think, you're suspecting that it's a strategy on the part of conditioned mind to pull you away from the relationship you were describing earlier into that place of self-abandonment that you were talking to Sherry about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question, I'm kind of thinking about now is, like, what's possible? What is conditioning so afraid of in that moment that it has to pull me away? Like, what if I did stay? I mean, what would be at risk? I guess a whole lot.
Oh, don't you think? Can you articulate it?
That's where I'm kind of stuck. Like, I feel like it would be like getting so far away from the experience as to see it in its wholeness, and maybe it would never happen again. I mean, maybe that would be the thing. Maybe it would just be like, you know, seeing through the illusion that is the migraine. Because I'm thinking about the migraines, and I'm beginning to feel like they're the ultimate tool for conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a perfect thing. You know, they're so intense. They happen, the pain and everything working together. It's, you know, a perfect combination for me to abandon myself. And it's almost like, you know, as before I started being aware of it, it was just strengthening and strengthening and strengthening in intensity. It was happening more and more and more. And as I became more and more aware of it, it doesn't happen as often. And when it does, I hold on longer before I get swept away. And I feel like I'm just getting closer to something, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really being a teacher to you, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I project. I mean, who knows what will happen with the migraines. If that were to be proved to be the case, that actually, you know, you, as you worked with this, you know, they stopped happening, that would be amazing. That would truly be, I mean, that would make a believer out of anybody. And who knows, you know, at this point, what will happen with that. But even if that doesn't happen, I can, you know, it's easy to see from the outside how much conditioning would be threatened by what you're doing. You know, because if you can hold yourself in the middle of that, you know, I actually, to tell you the truth, I get migraines too, so I know what you're talking about. And if you can hold yourself in the middle of that really excruciating experience, you know, what in life is not possible for you? You know, what
mm-hmm.
could you possibly ever be afraid of? Do you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, the whole conditioned system is designed to have us run away from pain. And it's not because pain is something we can't, that's bad or we can't handle, because we can absolutely handle it. It wouldn't be there if we couldn't handle it. But just because the conditioning would have us run away from the possibility that you're describing for us tonight, you know, that we can absolutely take care of ourselves in this life no matter what's going on. You know, we absolutely can. And if you really get that for yourself, which I think may have happened already even, you know, if you really get that that is available to you, then, you know, that's a conditioning is really out of business. Because what can it do to you? What can it tell you that you're going to be afraid of?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. And even if they did keep happening, and I wouldn't be upset if they did. It's just that that tidal wave wouldn't take me under anymore. And so I'd be there, the experience would be going on, but I'd be awake when the experience is over. I'm always unconscious at the end of the migraine.
Yeah.
I'd love to be conscious when it was over.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, you're really describing the human condition. You know, your version of it is the migraine. But everyone has their cross to bear. You know, everyone has their pain that they're struggling with. You know, for some people, yours is physical, you know, or at least this one you're talking about tonight is physical. Other people, you know, their pain is really deeply emotional. But it's the same thing. And I think that ambition that you just stated, that really is what we all want, ultimately, whether we know it or not, is to be conscious in it. You know, to hold, another way of saying that is, you know, to hold ourselves in love in it. You know, then it doesn't matter what's going on. You know, then it becomes, like you say, it becomes something to appreciate, because this is what gives me the opportunity to take care of myself in this really profound way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's what we're all striving for.
Yeah, and I just think of the compassion that I've been able to experience for other people because of this experience, and I wouldn't take it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I could take it back, I wouldn't. And that's a big step, too.
That is a big step. Yeah, it really is. And so true, too. You know, and, you know, I think we can all relate to you, and we say when we're in it, you know, oh gosh, if this would, I'd give anything for this to go away, you know. But after you go through it, then and see the power that it's had to ask us to go where we need to go, then like you say, and we wouldn't want to take any of it back, because that's exactly how we got here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so what I'm looking for is maybe something to hold on to, you know, so that when that voice comes up and says she's afraid, I'm able to, you know, not go with her to that place of being. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you, the part of you who you're talking about who really wanted to be held in the way that she was being held, like if you,
mm-hmm.
if she could hear anything from you, what would it be, do you think, if you could say something to her?
Well, that I'm here. And then it's okay, and then I won't leave her.
Mm-hmm. What about that?
And I do that. But then when the voice comes up that says she's afraid, she distracts me, I feel like.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what to say to her.
Oh, well, you,
she's
you,
not...
you don't have to say anything to her. If she is a her, that's what you're questioning. Is this actually a her, or is this a piece of conditioning? You don't have to say anything to her. Your job is just to be present. And
uh-huh.
in being present will give her what she needs if she wants it. If she doesn't
right.
want it, then you'll know that you're not dealing with a part of you. You're dealing with conditioning.
Exactly. And if it's conditioning and it gets me into a conversation, I'm gone.
Right.
That's
so here's another little trick
oh.
that goes along with the yoga theme at the beginning of the evening. You could,
mm-hmm.
if you wanted to, try to put your attention on the sensations of the migraine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because those sensations, as horrible as they are, they're here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But they hurt so bad. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the hard part. Yeah.
Well, they hurt, but there's no suffering in it.
Yes, you're right. You're right about that.
The suffering
right.
comes when you turn your attention away.
Mm-hmm.
it's different, you know, if you're turning your attention to that and holding yourself, you know, holding that part of you like you were describing before, I would bet you would find your attention is also there for the sensations of the migraine. What conditioning is trying to do is get you to turn your attention away into some story so that in addition to the pain, you'll have suffering.
Right.
Yeah.
When I start suffering that it just becomes excruciating.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to leave.
Yeah, it's more than painful. It's excruciating. Yeah. I mean, I know this sounds kind of strange or bizarre, but that's the advantage of having something as physical and as painful as that, you know, because there is something you can absolutely put your attention on if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, there just has to be the willingness for it, you know. There has to be the willingness.
And I feel like I'm starting to find that willingness.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And that's great. I mean, that's so powerful. Again, because it's just such a perfect metaphor for life. You know, that's what we're all called to do, to be present in the middle of this human life. No matter what it is, no matter how painful, how difficult, no matter how joyful, no matter how quiet, how beautiful, to stay present in the middle of it. You know, that's what we're all going for. And we all have the opportunity that each of us is given to learn that and to practice that and to discover that for ourselves. And this is just one of yours. The thing if I were you, that I would walk away with is just a profound sense of gratitude that you have the information that you have.
Yes.
You know, because you have the option that you're exercising in relationship to this, because sadly, most people don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people have is suffering, you know, surviving pain by suffering. And there's nothing wrong with that at all, if that's all you've got. But it sure is a rough way to go.
Mhm. Mhm. It definitely is. It definitely is. And I'm so grateful for all of the things that Living Compassion has to support. There's so many wonderful things. And you know, I got my first book when I was 19, from Sherry. And you know, I just feel so grateful that I had it, and I was able to speak to her, and she was able to speak to my exact experience. And ever since then, I've had such a different relationship with the migraines, which has been really profound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Well, I feel like I saw something very important in our conversation, and I'm really kind of looking forward to the next migraine so that I can try it out.
Yep, that's the attitude. That's it. That's a happy life right there.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I said that, and I meant it. That's great. Well, Dave, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful birthday present to be able to talk to you. And, Michael, thank you so much, too.
Yeah. You're welcome. Our pleasure. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Becca. You're listening to Open Air.
You know, Michael,
Michael,
I think we've got to make this a two-hour program.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
You know?
Yes, indeed.
I'm afraid we left some people hanging out there.
We have left some people hanging out there. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a great show, and I've felt really re-inspired and re-motivated, and I'm really grateful to see my process reflected in everyone else.
Yeah, me too. It really is a service for all of us, isn't it, when people participate like that?
Oh, it's great. That's great. Dave, thanks so much. It's a great pleasure and privilege, as usual.
Yeah, likewise, Michael. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care. Talk to you again soon.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.